I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, with Democratic Senator Barack Obama, now the first African-American to win a major party nomination for the presidency, we ask voters of different backgrounds what this milestone means to them. Plus, our summer tasting series begins, new twists on a familiar beverage. But first, to Zimbabwe, where a prolonged presidential election has become increasingly violent. Today, U.S. and British embassy staff were arrested, the tires on their cars slashed, and their telephones confiscated at a roadblock. U.S. Ambassador James McGee said that Zimbabwean police threatened to burn the vehicles with the diplomatic workers inside if they resisted arrest. The action comes on the same day that opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai resumed campaigning, the morning after spending 9 hours in police detention after he was stopped at a roadblock. Tsvangirai, who leads the Movement for Democratic Change, is widely believed, both by supporters and international observers, to have defeated President Robert Mugabe in the presidential election held in March. But Mugabe has refused to concede, and the country's Electoral Commission has backed him, saying that Tsvangirai won more votes, but not enough to avoid a runoff. That vote is now set for June 27th. Mugabe, who was Zimbabwe's first leader after independence from Britain, has been widely criticized by the world community in recent years for his increasingly repressive political tactics, as well as mismanagement of the once robust economy. Joining us to talk about all this is Nelson Chamisa. He's a spokesman for the Movement for Democratic Change. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Brian Hungwe. He's a freelance reporter in Zimbabwe. Welcome, Mr. Chamisa. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
How are you? Were you detained along with Mr. Tsvangirai?
Well, I was not with Mr. Tsvangirai. I was operating from a different location in Midlands. That's where I'm doing the campaign, spearheading the presidential campaign there. But Mr. Tsvangirai was traveling together with the vice president, the national chairman of the party, and the entourage that usually accompanies the president.
And do you know what was the pretext for detaining him? What was the reason given for detaining him? And how was he treated while in custody? As of course, I think many people know, many opposition supporters, including Mr. Tsvangirai, have been beaten in the past while in custody. Do you know anything about their circumstances?
Well, the circumstances are not yet clear even up to now, because legally they don't have any case that would wish to speak to Mr. Tsvangirai. And clearly, this seems to be a politically motivated circumstance. In fact, what we are seeing is an escalation in the desperation of ZANU-PF, an increase in their death tactics against Mr. Tsvangirai, in particular as the leader of the incoming government, and also against the supporters of the opposition movement for democratic change across the whole country. Warehouses, property have all been destroyed, and also people's lives being taken away, abductions and killings becoming the order of the day across the whole country. So there is no reason why they arrested Mr. Tsvangirai. Of course, they would want to indicate that he held illegal meetings.
Is that what they said in this instance? Did they say that he was... What was the stated reason for detaining him?
Well, they didn't state any reason, but some of the officers were trying to say he held illegal meetings, but he was not holding meetings per se. He was actually on his way to a rally. What he had heard was just a victory tour, you know, meet the people campaign, just meeting people, strengthening them, getting to hear their issues face to face.
And when he was released, was any reason given for that?
They did not give the reason. You know, there is impunity in this country. There's total breakdown of the rule of law. So there is absolutely shocking and outrageous arrogance on the part of the regime. The police do not indicate anything. They will be reading from the regime's template. They take instructions from Mugabe himself and the ZANU-PF people. What they are simply trying to do is to render the MDC campaign machinery comatose, and to make sure that it's stationary, there is no movement, we are not visible, we are not present, because they realize that we have a message that is appealing to Zimbabweans. We are selling an idea, the idea for democracy, for freedom and justice, which is striking quite meaningful resonance with a lot of Zimbabweans across the whole country. And this is why we won the election on the 29th of March.
Do you believe that Mr. Mugabe has ordered this behavior himself, that he is directly responsible for the treatment of the opposition?
Nothing happens in this country without the endorsement of Robert Mugabe. Mugabe is basically the one who is pulling the shots. The reason why he's doing this is because he knows that he will be defeated by Mr. Tsvangirai in a free and fair contest. So what he would want to do is to try and cripple Mr. Tsvangirai. He would want to try and name Mr. Tsvangirai in terms of his ability to campaign so that he's not able to reach out to the people. Life is made difficult for MDC supporters. But clearly, Mugabe is history, and what's left is the burial on the 27th of June. And this is why they've resorted to very desperate tactics and antics, including the indications that they are obviously going to have the last kicks, which are very dangerous.
How will Mr. Tsvangirai continue to campaign given these circumstances?
It has never been a walk in the park from day one. We have defeated Mugabe under very difficult circumstances, under extraordinary circumstances, without access to public media, without the ability to freely campaign, the police impeding and obstructing our meetings. But we have won nevertheless. We are so determined in this struggle that no matter what obstacle, we are prepared to make sure that an idea for change whose time has come is unstoppable.
Nelson Chamisa is a spokesman for the Movement for Democratic Change. It's the leading opposition party in Zimbabwe. Its leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, is standing for election in the presidential runoff on June 27th. Mr. Chamisa, thank you so much for speaking with us, and I hope we'll speak again.
Thank you.
Now we're going to be joined by Brian Hunghui. He is a freelance reporter in Zimbabwe. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian, has any news of Mr. Tsvangirai's detention, any news around the way he has been treated or his supporters have been treated since he returned to South Africa to campaign? Has any of that been reported in the Zimbabwean media?
The state broadcaster and the state newspapers did report Tsvangirai's return from neighboring countries. The his portrayal was that of a political coward running away from the electorate, the people you are supposed to be serving. That is the sort of spin that was given about his return. But on his detention yesterday, I tried to check in the state newspapers. They haven't given it a report as yet.
It has been reported by the MDC that about 60 supporters of Mr. Tsvangirai and of the opposition have been killed in the course of the election. Do you think that that's true? Can you independently verify that?
I cannot independently verify the figure, but definitely there are more than 30 people that have been killed countrywide as a result of retributive political violence. Quite a number of non-governmental organizations have made their own investigations, and they did come up with a number around 30. Indeed, the ongoing campaign of violence is going on, particularly in the countryside, where people living even in urban areas are not free to go to their rural homes. There's lots of roadblocks, so the situation there is quite tense.
What do you believe, or what do observers believe, is the purpose of this violence? Is it to keep people from voting at all? Is it to change that? Is it to persuade them to change their votes?
The thinking of quite a number of people is that the government would want to seal all the rural areas so that they would try to avoid people from urban areas or some other places visiting rural, the rural countryside, campaigning for the opposition movement for democratic change. And also they are trying to displace as many people as possible so that they won't be able to vote. They are planned, a grand plan, to make sure that people in rural areas don't vote freely.
And are the bulk of the votes in the rural areas?
Quite a significant percentage of the electorate does come from rural areas. Morgan Tsvangirai really needs the rural vote if he wants to carry the presidential vote. Actually, indications are that he'd made some significant inroads in terms of campaigning, particularly rural areas. That explains why he managed to win two of the provinces that are largely dominated by people in the rural areas.
President Mugabe was in Rome earlier this week with other world leaders attending an international conference on the impact of worldwide food shortages. His presence was criticized by a number of other leaders there since he is blamed for the dire economic situation in his country. How was his meeting there reported locally? And has he returned to the country and has he made any public statements about the campaign?
President Mugabe hasn't returned as yet from Rome. Indications are that he's likely to arrive tomorrow, Friday. The way it's been reported is that in the state newspapers, they are saying that President Robert Mugabe told world leaders that the Western countries are to blame for the food crisis. He also emphasized the point of land that he has since empowered the majority of the black people and reversing the what he referred to as colonial land imbalances, in which whites were just about 4,000, controlled 80% of the productive land. So it was given prominence, particularly in the Herald, which is a state-controlled newspaper.
Oh, and finally, Brian, I do need to ask, what are the conditions right now? It's been widely reported Zimbabwe has one of the worst, if not the worst, inflation rate in the world right now. It's been reported that there are shortages of kind of basics like gasoline and food staples. Is that true? Just give me a sense of what it's like on the ground. Is gas available? Can you buy food readily? Is there food on the shelves?
There are hardly any basic food commodities in most supermarkets surrounding Harare. People are having to go into neighboring countries, particularly South Africa and Botswana, to shop for maize meal, cooking oil, even rice. This is largely because of not much production coming out of the farms. Not much is being produced by newly resettled farmers.
So literally people are crossing the border just to buy groceries.
That's a fact, and that applies to the cross-section of Zimbabwean society. Even the middle class and those that are very poor are having to shop from neighboring countries.
Brian Hungwe is a freelance reporter. He joined us by phone from Zimbabwe. Earlier, we were joined by Nelson Chamisa. He is a spokesman for the Movement for Democratic Change, which is the leading opposition party in Zimbabwe. Brian, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.